Hello and welcome to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Today is episode 9, and we are going to be talking about food security. More precisely, we're going to be talking about some tools to use in the kitchen. 5 homestead kitchen tools. You can find out more about the homestead kitchen tools and other shows on havenhomestead.com in the podcast section. Also, we have other sections on there about the products that we offer and the classes we teach and lots of other things that we find important here on our homestead. Also, I want to remind you to please check out our Patreon page. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Haven Homestead. And we appreciate your help there. Keeps this show on the road and helps us afford things like this new microphone I got and things to make this podcast better and able to reach more people. So the kitchen, it's been said that the kitchen is the heart of the home. And I believe that as well for our home as well. It seems like the kitchen is the heart, and not only because it's kind of central, but because it seems like there's a lot of learning and growing and happy memories that come from the kitchen. A lot of happy memories for me because I really like food, but the kids have learned how to cook and wash dishes and lots of things that they've needed for their I think growing and the skills that they develop. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about 5 homestead kitchen tools. I really think that in order to do your job right in the kitchen, in order to make it a happy and successful experience, whatever you have to do in the kitchen, you need the right tool for the job. And so these 5 kitchen tools are going to help you in that. And these are some that we have and some that have done well for us. And so we're going to pass on our experiences to you and hopefully save you some headache and time and money. So number one, and it is probably the one that we use the most. We use it almost every meal. And that is the 12-inch cast iron skillet. We use the one by Lodge, the Lodge brand cast iron skillet, but you can get any sort of, as long as it's real cast iron. And I prefer the pre-seasoned ones because you can season them yourself but it's a little bit of a headache. The pre-seasoned ones do just fine. They've all done fine for me. I've had seasoned and non-seasoned, and I've liked the pre-seasoned ones better. So today is the 2nd of March, 2017, and I was just on Amazon and saw a 12-inch cast iron for $21.42. And the lid, the drawback to that is it doesn't come with a lid, so the lid is $31. So that's kind of a little bit of a $52 for the skillet. Just be warned that it is heavy, and the skillet plus the lid, you'll need to use 2 hands. And they have a handle on both sides, the regular handle like most frying pans, and then a handle on the other side to kind of hold on to it to assist you. And you're going to need it, especially when it's full of food, and if it has a lid on it, then it weighs quite a bit. But it will last you your whole life. I don't know that it will ever wear out. And the more you use it, the better seasoned it gets. Now, a little bit of word to the wise on when you use a skillet, use cast iron, you need to not use soap when you wash it. When you wash it, just use hot water. You can put a little water in it and heat it up on the stove, and that usually loosens everything up, and you can use your metal spatula to scratch the you know, the stuff off, and then use a paper towel or something to finish it out after you dump the water out with the pieces of food that you've loosened up off. And then once it's cleaned out, wiped out, then you can oil a paper towel or a rag and, you know, some vegetable oil, and then wipe it around on the inside and store it oiled up so it doesn't get rusty. If for some reason it does lose its season, then you'll want to cover it all in grease, like shortening or lard or something like that, and put it in the oven. And you just have to research on the internet how hot you want to get it up to. But you take it up to, you put it in the oven, take it up to a certain temperature. You know, put it in when the oven's cold, and then as the oven heats up, it takes it up to a certain temperature, and you leave it at that temperature for a certain amount of time, and then turn off the stove, and it will, and leave the door shut so it doesn't cool down too quickly, and it will slowly cool back down, and all the oil will seep into the pores and re-season the cast iron, whatever it may be. If it's a skillet or a frying pan or a Dutch oven or whatever the cast iron thing is. I will get those numbers for you and times, and I'll put them in the show notes. I just don't have them ready ahead of time, so I'll get them for you. You know, a couple of the good reasons why you should have this skillet or, you know, frying pan or some other thing like that is there's so many things you can do with it. They're versatile, and that's one of the main reasons that we have some of these, that we made this list, is most things should have more than one use. Some of the things you can do with them are, is you can cook on the stovetop, of course, like usual. You could fry up chicken or pork chop or fry eggs, any of that sort of stuff. You can, with the lid on it, you can bake in it, just like any other sort of baking pan or Dutch oven sort of use. If there's an intruder in your house, you can hit them with it, and they weigh a lot, so that would probably mess them up pretty good. Although you want to have a good handle on it because you don't want to slip. And you can also cook with coals on it. You can put coals underneath and on top and cook just like you would with the Dutch oven. Turn out biscuits and all sorts of stuff like that. So there's lots of uses for them, and they're very durable. I mean, they're passed down from generation to generation, and there's some really old pieces out there that have been used for a lot of years. Just got to make sure to take care of them. So number two on the list, I put a high-quality cutting board. A cutting board is important, especially for the longevity of your knives. We make cutting boards here, and they're made out of black walnut and maple. As long as my black walnut supply doesn't run out, we have, they're about an inch and a quarter, up to an inch and a half thick, and about 12 by 10. You know, I can go up to 12 inches wide on my planer, so they usually don't get any wider than 12 inches, but, you know, 12 by whatever length is the order for. And I make mine with the side grain, and what I really like about our cutting boards is that the boards don't seem to dull your knife like a bamboo board does. Bamboo is just so darn hard that it will dull your knife. Same with using a glass cutting board. You know, any of the other cutting boards. We had a glass cutting board, and you know, drawing a knife across there, you're dulling it every single time that you go to cut something. You're drawing a knife across the glass, and you're just dulling it. So it was a bad choice, and we got rid of that one. Also, the kind of softer plastic ones, if you keep using it, you know, pieces of plastic will go into your food, and that's not good for you. They're kind of self-healing. They're really nice. I like having the boards that are like we make them. They're side grain. They're not the end grain, which are the highest price boards. Are usually the boards you can see the grain on the end of the, and kind of most butcher blocks and things like that are made out of the end grain, the high end butcher blocks that are that is, are made out of this end grain. I would like to start making some more of those, but I haven't got into that yet. I was making one for my mom. That's as far as I've got on end grain. We use side grain, which are really nice, and we've turned out some really nice boards. And the ones we use in our house, we have two. They have held up really well, despite heavy use. So if you're going to get a nice quality cutting board, you need to know how to take care of it, cast iron we talked about earlier. And the way you take care of a cutting board is you need to oil it periodically. Just watch it when it starts getting kind of that dry look to it. Then you need to oil it with some mineral oil. We use a mineral oil beeswax mix. It makes it look really nice for a long time. It makes it last for a long time. It won't dry out, and it's just the way to go that we've found so far. Number three on the list is something you may have never heard of, but it is called a spurtle. Sounds kind of like turtle, but it is called a spurtle. S-P-U-R-T-L-E, spurtle. This goes back a long time ago to Scotland, when they used to have a spurtle, a flattened spurtle that they would use, kind of like a spatula, to turn oat cakes. And the spurtle kind of was lost over years and changed. The spurtle that most people think of now is kind of a dowel stirring stick for stirring porridge. In Scotland, they have a competition for the golden spurtle. The people make porridge, and whoever has the best porridge gets the golden spurtle. Anyways, it looks like a stirring stick. Well, ours is shaped like the old style, like a kind of like a stirring spoon spatula hybrid thing. We use that all the time. We use it for stirring when you're cooking, for serving up things. It has a bend in the belly where you can lean up, you put it up against a pan if you're trying to strain out vegetables. It will let the water pass underneath, but while holding the vegetables in, or whatever it is that you're trying to strain out. I also put in a finger relief on the right-hand side for right-handed people and on the left-hand side for left-handed people, so that it doesn't hurt your hand. So the story behind it is this lady, our neighbor, she asked me if I could make a tool for her that she has in her kitchen. She said she's had it since the 70s, and it's been such a good tool, and she's used it all the time. And she said it came in a pizza-making kit. I said, all right, well, let me take a look at it. So I went over to her house and looked. I said, sure, I can make this. And it was made out of oak. I brought it home and kind of beefed it up a little bit, because the way it was, you could see how it had been used over the years, and it was thinner than it looked like it started. But I noticed where the bevels were and how... And what I was getting to was that where she had used it with her right hand over the years, I don't know if it came with the finger relief in the side or if she had worn that in over the years from cooking with it. So I added that on there so it already has a pre-made finger relief so that the edge of the handle doesn't hurt your finger when you're really getting there and stirring hard. I apologize if you can hear Liam in the background coughing. He's got a cold and hasn't been too bad for the last few days, but today it seems like it's really settled in his chest and he's been coughing quite a bit. Liam's a 4-year-old son, and so please pardon the coughing in the back. So number four that we're going to get to today is the kitchen shears. Now, our kitchen shears they're okay, but they're not anything special. We'd like to get some better ones. And so we've looked at two that we would like to try out. And perhaps we'll get. But if somebody wants to be really nice and send us one or both, then I'd appreciate that. But Lindsay was talking about maybe approaching the two companies and asking them if they would like her to review these tools so that you know, we could at least try them out to see which ones we like better. Where I heard from the Yeti, so the first one is the Yeti kitchen shears, and I heard it first on the Survival Podcast, heard about these on the Survival Podcast, when Jack Spirko did a show similar to this, and he said that he has some and really likes it. They're easy to take apart, they cut right through chicken breast, you know, for right through the bones and everything, and they seem like a really, really decent. So I just remembered, for some reason, out of all the different tools that he mentioned, the Yeti kitchen shears are the ones that I remembered. And the other one that my wife, and the Yeti kitchen shears are $12.50. So I didn't mention what the prices were earlier. So our number one item was the skillet, and that was $21.42 with the lid that was $31. High quality cutting boards, you can spend a lot of money on them, you know, $150 or more, and down to, you know, $40 or $50, depends on how cheap you want to get. Ours is $75. And if you want it bigger than, you know, say 12 by 14 or something, then just let me know and I can make it happen. Our spurtles are $15. And if you become a patron on our Patreon, then I haven't put it on there yet, but you will get a choice between having a mug at $10. If you become a $10, you pledge $10 per month, then you will get either a spurtle or a mug. And I haven't put the spurtle on there yet. Right now, it's just a mug with three different choices of sayings on there, or three different quotes printed on there. But I'm also going to put the spurtle in for that tier. So with the kitchen shears, now that I've said the prices for the, and the spurtle is $15 in case I forgot that. Next, so the kitchen shears, the Yeti is $12.50. And the other one that we like is the Artful Homemaker. And those kitchen shears are $15.99, so $16 for those. We'd like to try them both, so maybe we'll end up purchasing both of those. You know, the reason why we put kitchen shears on our list, on these five tools, is there are so many things you can do with them. You can cut up, you know, your kids' pizza into bite-sized pieces if you've got little kids. You can cut through meat. You can open cans. You can do all sorts of stuff with the kitchen shears. And that's why we put them on the list, is they have so many different functions. They're very versatile. Also, it's important when you are looking for shears that they come apart and clean easily, and both of these do that. Number five, the last one I want to mention, drumroll please, is a high quality knife set. So we got some really nice quality knives, and it took us a while to finally get them. The reason why is we had to find them. What I finally found were old butcher knives, high carbon butcher knives. So they're hard to sharpen, but they keep their edge for a long time because they're hard. And they can get very, very sharp. So what you want to do when you're looking for knives is look at yard sales. And I did, and I went to plenty of yard sales and looked, you know, through their crappy knives that are just like our, you know, flimsy garbage knives that you get for $15, you know, for a 20-piece set or something at Walmart. I looked at lots and lots of yard sales because that's where I had heard you can find these. And I finally went to one and I asked the guy, I said, you know, this might be, he had lots of different things. This might be a shot in the dark, but do you happen to have any butcher knives or anything? And he said, well, let's come take a look at this. Took me into the house where the things that he hadn't quite brought out yet. And there were two cleavers, an actual butcher knife, a skinning knife, a breaker, which is kind of almost like a short sword. It's a really long knife and it's used for breaking big pieces of meat away, you know, like on a cow or something, on a a side of beef or something where you have to reach through a lot of meat. But that's what I would suggest is get some high carbon, high quality knives. And they have, new ones. You don't have to go to yard sales like I did, but I kind of like old tools as well. And the way you want to find out if they're high carbon is they're going to have a lot of patina on them and maybe some rust. And if that's the case, then you know that they're not stainless steel and they're most likely higher quality steel than the stainless bologna we have nowadays. Also, with those knives, you want to get a high-quality sharpener. Sharpener, whether it be a sharpening stone, and that's a skill in itself. You know, a nice sharpening steel, which is those kind of rods that you see in the movies when it's Thanksgiving time and the guy's, shing, 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 sharpening it up before he starts carving the turkey. That's also important so you can keep your high-quality knives touched up and ready to rock whenever something needs to be cut up. And the reason for getting high-quality knives is that when you're ready to cut, they are ready to cut too. Dull knives are dangerous. You'll be forcing them through something, and they could slip and cut you. But a sharp knife will cut where you want, when you want. And so that's why you want to keep your eye out for some high-quality kitchen knives. So that is our five tools. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that it helps you out. I don't know a price on the knives because, it varies so much. I would just search for some, tool steel knives. If you want to go buy high carbon kitchen knives, then look for tool steel like D2 or O1, I believe, is another kind of tool steel. Well, I hope this has come in handy. I hope that you found this useful. And next week, we're going to be talking about cooking from scratch, because it's important to have the right tools for the job, but even more important than the things you have are the skills that you develop. And that will kind of be the topic of next week, and hopefully for a few more shows, is cooking from scratch and wildcrafting, foraging for food, and growing and producing your food. So those are some of the shows that are upcoming. So look forward to being with you on those ones. Thanks for listening. This has been Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.